Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithful love that is steadfast and invites the wayward to return and welcomes us and throws a feast. Father, we pray that as we are attentive to your word, that you will open our ears, our hearts, and our lives to you and to your word. Lord, I pray that as I speak, that you will use me as your instrument, that you will elbow aside my preconceived notions about what to say, that you would get the last word. Amen. Today's New Testament scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Listen to the word of God. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So the father divided his prosperity between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He gladly would have filled himself with pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. The slave replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed a fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" This is the word of the Lord. You know how it goes? Perhaps you've seen it in a family that you know. A son is tired of living under the parents' roof. In the parents' rules, and in the very act of rejecting their parents, they make a demand for something that they feel is coming to them and they are due. And in rejecting more than the parents, they take this amazing gift that wasn't necessarily warranted, and blow it on fast living and fast women. After his faithless friends that were only there when he was picking up the tab abandoned him, he finds himself feeding pigs and going, "Hey, that pig slop looks pretty good." Eventually, coming to his senses, and this kid, being as self-centered as he is, realizes that, hey, I can take advantage of my father one more time. I'll go back home and get a job because no one else is hiring me and I can eat better than these pigs. Arriving home, the kid receives the expected wrath. Mom and Dad let loose on him, telling what an ungrateful son he's been, how he doesn't deserve anything. They've already given him everything and he squandered it. But the son doesn't give up. The son keeps banging on the door. And eventually, his parents answer. And they are so mad, it looks like they're about to have a stroke. And father yells and screams, calling him good for nothing, low life, they'll never amount to anything. And the son begins to roll out his practiced speech. And begins to say, "I'm not worthy to be your son, but at least hire me. You could do that, can't you? If you really loved me, you would hire me." And he begins to try to shame the parents into taking care of him. But they curse him, they slam the door, and they never see him again. Isn't that the story we expected? How we expect it to come out. It was certainly the story that those listening to Jesus expected to hear, particularly since those that Jesus was telling this to were the Pharisees and scribes. And they were grumbling and complaining that, what did Jesus do? He welcomed sinners and he ate with them. That was their complaint. God forbid, huh? But they expected people to be treated like they deserve. Now, I saw some of you might have been flipping through your Bible to see if the passage actually went the way I was just telling it. And you might have said, that's not the way Jesus told it. But it sure seems a lot more realistic for me. To me, the son was a jerk and he got what he asked for from his father. He got what he got out of life, what he gave to it. He made his bed, let him lay in it. And you know what? That disconnect is what's so shocking about this parable. That this boy gets treated like he does not deserve. The father does not act the way we expect. The father doesn't give up his son. And even when the son has totally rejected the father did not reject the son. And this is what they call the scandal of the gospel. That people don't get what they deserve. That's a scandal. But what's doubly scandalous about this is it's not that people don't get what they deserve, it's that they get the very thing that they do not deserve. No one would argue the son deserved to be welcomed home. Even Jesus wasn't in any way implying. In fact, Jesus was saying, if you look at these parables, that he did not deserve to be welcomed home. And when you get right down to it, despite the headings in your Bibles, despite the many Sunday school classes I've been to and you've been to, this is not a story about the prodigal son. Jesus tells this story to tell of the character of the Father. And as we talked about with our young folks here, it's part of three stories about things that are lost. A lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son. The shepherd that searches for the sheep until he finds it. The woman who searches for the coin until she finds it. Well, what does a shepherd do once he finds it, as we read earlier in this chapter? He invites his friends and says, let's have a party.
the woman who lost the coin and finds it, invites her neighbors and says, "Celebrate with me." And as a punctuation at the end of both of those, Jesus says, "There's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents than 99 people who are getting it right." There's more rejoicing in the presence of the angels, he says, over one sinner that repents than 99 who have no need for repentance. We have this son who comes back, and there's a party thrown. There's an older brother that's frustrated and angry about the younger son not getting what he deserves. And it's in the midst of this, as we've talked about before, that Jesus uses these parables, these things that we might think are familiar situations, to explain and to reveal things that are unfamiliar to us. It would have been very familiar, now I was going to say in Jesus' time, but in all times, for a son that has rejected the father, for the father to turn their back on the son, for the father not to do any favors for the son after he had been so totally rejected. But in these stories, in these parables, Jesus is revealing something profoundly different about God. That God rejoices when the one is found. The Father rejoiced when the prodigal was returned. And not only that, that the shepherd, the woman, and the Father says, "Celebrate with me! Celebrate with me! Let your heart be like mine and rejoice when the lost is found, when the prodigal returns." These parables are not specifically about what to do if you have lost animals that happen to bear wool. It's not a to-do manual for how to search for a lost coin. They are about the shepherd that searches, the woman that seeks, the father that finds, in a way that reveals something about God, our Heavenly Father's joy in seeking and in saving the lost. Now, one of the difficult things to say and to do when, you know, we are a smaller part of the population that happens to be in church this morning, gathering around God's Word, is to remember that Jesus told these parables not to the sinners. He told them to the Pharisees and scribes that were grumbling and complaining about Him welcoming sinners and eating with them. Remember the eldest son's complaint that the father had welcomed the prodigal son home, that the father had a party when the prodigal came home. And you begin to see that those Pharisees and scribes were cast as the eldest son, the one who would not celebrate, the one who would not come into the party. And so this chapter of Luke is a powerful message to Christians, to those who are in church, to those who are going through either complete dedication to the Lord or seeking what that might mean. It's a message for those of us who sometimes might feel like, "Oh, I've never been lost. I've been relatively faithful," to us, to receive sinners with the same joy and celebration of our Heavenly Father. It's a parable that Jesus told to those who didn't consider themselves to be lost. In this parable, it's the eldest son who throws a fit over his father's reception of his wayward son. And the eldest son, what does he do? What's his argument? The eldest son's argument is, "It's not fair." And you know what? It isn't. It is not fair. While the prodigal son squandered the father's fortune in wine, women, and song, the eldest son had worked faithfully and worked hard and served his father The eldest son had an honest complaint. The father had never given him even a goat for him to throw a party with his friends. And yet, the father brings out the fatted calf, the tastiest piece, to celebrate his jerk brother coming home. And it's a challenge today, even as it was in Jesus' day. And I hope that this passage causes some type of cognitive dissonance in your mind as you try to consider what's going on here, because that's Jesus' intent. It's tempting to get caught up in worrying about the sins of others, demanding that they get punished the way they deserve, that they get treated the way they ought to be treated, when all along, God is preparing a party and celebrating when the lost is found and the wayward returns home. It's tempting to keep a score of the offenses that have been committed against us and want them to be paid off in full, when the father is more concerned about receiving home the one that is lost, and not only erasing and forgiving, but restoring and celebrating. The wayward son returned home, and he expected to be able to swing a deal where he could work as a servant on the father's farm. And the wayward son himself was surprised by the treatment he received. You know, the wayward son didn't entertain any ideas or hope that he might return, be received as a son. He probably expected to receive a tongue lashing like he deserved. But instead, in something that we are told is absolutely uncharacteristic of a Jewish father, the father left where he was and ran to the son and welcomed him home. And not only did he welcome the son home, but he invited everyone else to do what? To celebrate with him. There's also a welcome message and very good news to those who do not know Jesus Christ, those who have strayed and fallen or rejected God. Because in these same parables that are so convicting and challenging to those of us who do a lot of things right, there's a powerful message of a gift that God offers to those who have fallen, those who have missed the mark. These parables of Jesus, and especially Jesus' cross, reveal that the consequences of sin are very real, that God doesn't just ignore them. God doesn't discount the very real cost of sin. He rejoices when sinners return. When we turn from our sinful ways, when we return to our Heavenly Father, He receives us, not with reluctance, but with joy. Not treating us like we deserve, but instead unfairly better than we deserve. There's more rejoicing, Jesus said over and over again in this one chapter, over one sinner that repents than 99 righteous people who have no need for repentance. Unfortunately, I don't think Christians as a whole are well known for following that clear part of Jesus' teaching. That there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents than 99 that need no repentance. It's very easy to be the eldest child who tries hard to do everything right, to be obedient to the Father, to live according to the Father's will, and to look down and cast aside the sinners who are repenting, the wayward that are coming home. As a congregation, as part of Christ's church, there's an important message for us. Will we be like the older brother and refuse to celebrate with the father? Or will we rejoice with the father when the lost is found? Churches are not supposed to be places for the insiders, places for people who think they've got their act together, to hang out on Sunday mornings, casting condemnation on others. You know, as the body of Christ, called and equipped for Christ's purposes, Jesus said He came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus went to the cross to pay the horrible price of sin. But He doesn't leave it there. He says, take up your cross and follow Me. Jesus told this parable, as I said, to the Pharisees and the scribes that were grumbling and complaining that Jesus welcomed sinners and ate with them. And you know what? As we as a congregation and you as people that God sends into different corners of our community, it won't be neat and tidy as we do this. It won't always be easy. People will let you down. People will do and say things that might hurt you. People will say things you disagree with. And like other Christians, like Pharisees, might grumble and complain about the people that are part of our congregation or people that are some of your friends. How can you hang out with them? Sounds like what the Pharisees were complaining about. But Jesus had a way of hanging out with sinners that did not change Him, but rather transformed the sinners He was around. And that transformation didn't come out of His being in their face. It came out of honest speaking. And it came out of genuine love and concern for those that were lost. Ultimately, the question is, are we willing to demonstrate to others the same grace that God has shown to us? Are we willing to give to others what they don't deserve in a way that reflects in some way the amazing gift that God has given to us? Do we really mean it when we pray the Lord's Prayer and says, forgive our debts, forgive our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us? As I've challenged before, are we dedicated that the cross on our buildings, whether it's on a steeple or on a screen or on the wall, some of you on necklaces and earrings, are you willing to live it in such a way that it offers hope and that it speaks a welcome, come in, return home, rather than serving as a warning to stay away? We have a great message of great hope for the world. It's through us that God is promising release to those held captive by sin through the working of the Holy Spirit. For Christians who have fallen, for those who have never known the Father's great love, there is great hope. And we need that hope because the weight and the consequences of our falling and our sin weigh us down and will eventually rot us from within like a cancer and destroy us. And it's human nature, like this wayward son, to not feel like we'll be restored, that we don't deserve it. And you know why we feel like that? Because we don't. You know why those who carry a burden of sin don't feel like they can really be forgiven? Because they don't deserve it. So part of our message of good news is revealing to them love and care and concern that they don't deserve either. You know, Scripture reminds us that the wages of sin is death. And that's where a lot of preachers and Christians stop. And like a broken record, we proclaim death, 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 death. But you know, that's only half the sentence. If God's Word doesn't stop there, why should we? If Christ in His life and in His death and His resurrection doesn't stop there, who do we think we are? We become instruments of hell if we stop there. Because that verse says, the wages of sin of death is death, but the free gift of God, the free gift that we cannot ever earn and deserve, is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The grace and the love get the final word. Sin is a truth, but God's love and grace went out for those for whom Christ is their Lord. For sinners, for the fallen, for those who have lost their way, there is great hope. For those of us who have sometimes rode high horses, we have a chance to get down. It's interesting, the parable never explains what the eldest son's final decision was. Did he listen to the father and go in? Or did he stay out in the darkness alone? We have a God that awaits and welcomes home the prodigal and invites in the eldest son. Amen.